what you're doing to me.
Welcome to episode 250 of Taking the Charge Podcast. With you from Regensburg, Germany, I'm David Hein of Hein News. Thank you for stopping by for 250th time. Probably not many of you, but maybe some of you. 250 times. Been a pretty crazy ride and really, really excited. I wish I had more time and had planned on actually trying to do some more for this show, but the FIBA Under-19 Basketball World Cup starts this weekend, starts on Saturday, and I will be traveling to Egypt on tomorrow, on Thursday, and have been swamped with preview material, trying to get it done, and so really haven't been able to do too much as far as other things for the podcast as I had kind of hoped for. Obviously do have an interview, and it's a good one, a blast from the past. Before we get to that, I'll just let you know how you get in contact with the show. You can reach me on Twitter at Hein News, H-E-I-N-N-E-W-S. There's the Facebook group. Just put in the search bar Taking the Charge Podcast, and you can reach us there. There's the website, HeinNews.com. There is the email address is HeinNews@GMX.de. You can sponsor the show. That is at Patreon. Patreon.com/takingthecharge. Thank you to those who have done that. Norbert Opitz among them. Thank you. Very, 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 very much appreciated. Patreon.com/takingthecharge. And you can go to iTunes, rate, and review the show. All right. So 250. Before we get to the interview, I just kind of give you a rundown of the U19 FIBA Basketball World Cup. Just kind of give you an idea what's going on. The two-time reigning champions, USA, have a, I don't know, man, you could almost call it a C or even a D roster. You know, you look at all the guys that could be playing in this tournament for them. There's Fultz, there's Monk, there's Josh Jackson, Tatum, Giles, Ferguson, and then there's the under 18 guys from last year that aren't playing, Bamba, Porter. Some of the U17 guys could also play but aren't playing. Carter, Wendell Carter Jr., Gary Trent Jr., Colin Sexton, Jaren Jackson Jr., all these guys are not playing. So USA, and also some of the top high school, probably the top two high school seniors, those being Zion Williamson and Marvin Begley, also not in the mix. There are Romeo Langford and Cameron Reddish, who are the top two in the senior class. Bol Bol, the son of Manu Bol, was in the camp at least as one of the finalists. Not as one of the finalists, but as one of the training camp participants. So a lot of guys that aren't there. Top guy probably would be there, Hamidou Diallo, and there's also P.J. Washington. Both of those kids are Kentucky kids. They'll be Kentucky freshmen this coming year. There's a group of college rising sophomores, Josh Okogie, Kevin Huerta. So there's actually, it's probably more, it's probably older than it had been, than it may have been in the past, with the college rising sophomores. But a lot of the star talent is not coming. Actually, I would say, like we said, a C level, you know, USA team. But it's still USA. It's still, you know, they'll still have their status as favorite. Canada, if you look at the guys that aren't there, it's a pretty impressive group. O'Shea Brissett, Howard Washington, Badiaku, Shea Gilgeous Alexander, Nikhil Walker, Chateau Dort, Bratzikas, Icott, Guerrero, Nembhard. None of those guys are there. And that's a pretty impressive 12 group. But, you know, you do have Barrett, who will probably be one of their main leaders. You have Keyjob, you have Wigington, Jurjicic. You know, it's a pretty solid group. Jordan Henry, Emmanuel Miller will probably be super motivated since he was the last guy cut for the under 17 group last year to make room for RJ Barrett. So it's going to be a pretty solid group, especially when you consider all the guys that are not there for coach Roy Rana. France don't have any of the 99, so that's Horde, Pons, Sarr. They don't have Dembouya, the 2000 gem. You don't have Tilikina. You do have Tile, you do have Schauf, you do have Makoka. So there will be that. They have Enzo Gudusinha, who was one of the top young players in the French league this year, in the French youth league this year. Mel Ezoizis, who went over to the States to play. So it's going to be a decent group back from France. Italy, they're missing their main guy. It's going to be a big hit with Davide Moretti not playing. He was obviously a member of the All-Star 5 at the under-18s. He'll be missing, which is a big hit for them. Iran actually have a pretty good group back. Mali could have been a lot stronger, actually. They do have 9 back from their FIBA U18 Africa Championship. But they, you know, they don't have Abdul Karim Koulibaly or Nifali Dante. Both of those guys could be pretty strong. Puerto Rico is actually going to be pretty interesting. They're a group that really, really knows each other well over the many years that they have been playing. Spain, they're going to be a good group. You know, you don't have Sergio Martinez. You don't have Miguel Gonzalez. But they will have Eric Villa. They'll have Igator. They'll have Alex Font. So Lithuania, they don't have Velika, Arnas Velička, which would have probably been a pretty nice addition. They're going to have to rely. They ended 2 injuries, Yolega and Tubutas both got injured, and they ended up adding 2 2000-born point guards, those guys being Rokas Jokubaitis, who many people saw at the Adidas Next Generation Tournament, and then Davidas Gitiraitis. You know, there's still Masulis, Sedekers, and Kopulka, as well as Vasilauskas. So it still could be a very good, very good team. So it's going to be a nice group for them. Argentina actually have a really good group. None of their guys are not coming. So, and you have Corvalan, you have Follett, you have Cafaro, Barra. So, yeah, it's going to be... who else am I missing? It's Angola. Angola haven't finalized their roster, but they don't have Bruno Fernandes. Egypt take a big hit, but they don't have Tarek Rafat, who was their main guard. I think he got in a biking injury, in a biking accident. New Zealand, first time that they've qualified for the tournament, so they'll have Ty Winyard from Kentucky. Sam Wardenberg, who's going to Miami, University of Miami, Florida. Quinn Clinton, who hit the two big shots. Japan, they got kind of beat pretty good by Germany in their two friendlies, but Hashimura's been fantastic. Also taking his game outside, I think 3 of 5 and 4 of 6 from 3-point range in those two games. So what's it? 7 of 11 from 3-point range in two games. Scored 35 and had 10 rebounds in a game against Germany. So it's gonna be fun. I don't think France are gonna be able to if they had Ntilikina, if they had Dumbuya, it'd be a different story. If they had some of those 99s, Horde, whatnot, pawns, I think that'd be a different story. But I don't know. I mean, Tillet's gonna be fantastic there. USA is gonna be really strong. Germany, there's an injury there, and they're going to have a late substitution. I don't want to say it right now because it's not out yet. For those who might be listening to the show pretty quick after he comes out, there will be an injury announced either late Wednesday or sometime Thursday, which is going to be a pretty big hit for Germany. But they're still loaded. Of course, they don't have Isaiah Hartenstein, who was drafted. So Canada, Argentina, like I said, Puerto Rico might be pretty interesting. So... all in all, really, really looking forward to it. Should be fun. And it's all going to be, go check out FIBA.com and you'll land on the website for the event. And go follow the live blog. I'll be managing that. The games are going to be live on YouTube. So, so many things to ways to follow it. Go do it all. All right. Let's get to the interview. I know there's the NBA draft, and I'm going to have to pass on the NBA draft. I just have so much stuff I have to finish, and I just don't have the time to get it done. So I'm going to have to pass on the NBA draft this time. Maybe talk about it next week. We'll see. I probably won't, but maybe you'll get back to it. We'll see. So blast from the past, as I said, Nick Gibson. You know Nick Gibson, of course, one of the two founding members of EuroLeague Adventures with Sam Myerkoff. Sam Myerkoff, of course, has been on the show more than a few times. Nick is in China and is actually an assistant coach for a second division NBL club there. I'm not going to give away too much more, so here's my chat with Nick Gibson. Enjoy, and we will catch you on the other side. On the show this week, an old friend has returned, Nick Gibson, a blast from the past. Nick, welcome back to the show.
Man, Dave, thanks for having me.
I was looking back, and the last time you were on the show was episode 10.
That sounds about right.
Paris? What was that? November 21st, 2012. So probably maybe Slovenia, maybe.
Oh, that would have been probably right before or during the 2012.
November 2012.
Yeah,
that could have been.
Yeah. So that was after the Istanbul Final Four.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yes. Hmm. Damn, episode 10. So this is what, 250, you
this
said?
This is 250. It only took me 240 episodes to get you on again.
Yeah, man, I guess like you started off small and then you were like, oh, like some real people on here, and then I just never got that callback. So I guess you cycled through everyone else and now you got to start back at the bottom.
numerous times too. Sam was on a couple times. I think Rob was on a couple times.
Yeah, Sam's got to be up there for the league lead in podcast appearances, right?
Yeah, probably.
But, all right, well, I got to start catching up.
But I will say I really wanted to have you on when you were with Atlanta, but that didn't work out, and so this is not the first time I've ever tried to get you back on, but finally got you back on. And you really, you know, it's appropriate that you called, you know, your site, your blog, podcast, Euro League Adventures, because Euro League Adventures has really taken you on an adventure. And so for those who might not know, you know, without wanting to really sound like a resume, maybe just short and sweet, a couple of the main points. About the stops, you know, it was basically 2013 when you ended your time with EuroLeague Adventures and you joined Atlanta. We'll hit a couple of those spots along the way, but just give a quick rundown maybe of the resume, if you will.
Whoa, oh, the resume, oh man. Well, yeah, I mean, EuroLeague Adventures is still just super, super close to my heart, and it was just Sam and I at Syracuse University. It was just snowy as all hell, so we were like, let's watch some European basketball. So that I'm just happy that I met that goofy kid back then, and we kept this thing rolling. Since podcast 10 for you then. So after then, Sam and I were living in Spain, and then we went to Istanbul, and we actually got kicked out of Europe for a couple of years because we overstayed our visa. So I was totally on board to come back. We lived for 6 months in Barcelona, and I mean, still probably my favorite city in the world. And I was all gung ho about coming back to Spain. My Spanish was starting to get, you know, halfway decent ish. And, I just loved the pace there. Loved the people there. It kind of felt like my southern slow speed, which I really enjoyed. So I was all ready to come on back. And then lo and behold, we're in the Basel Mulhouse Freiburg Airport, and we get held up, and they go and detain us and take our fingerprints. And okay, so yeah, so it turns out after that, they find us a little bit and banned us a little bit for a couple years. So I was like, how am I going to follow European basketball if I can't go to Europe? So the Spanish was starting to get decent, so I wanted to keep that rolling if I could. So I went home, and I waited tables for a little bit, and I bartended for a few months, and saved some money and moved to Argentina, Buenos Aires, for 7 months. Had a fantastic time there. Probably more chill than work, honestly. I mean, I it was pretty cheap, and you can go get a bottle of red wine and a steak for, you know, $7. So I was like, yeah, I'm okay with this. Had a great time there. That was a good time for me to just really lock in and watch a lot of basketball and enjoy myself, honestly. And Sam and I, at the time, we were putting together the rankings for the EuroLeague guys for NBA 2K, so that took up a lot of my time. Had fun with that. And then basically kind of the same model as Europe. I stayed there about till I ran out of money. And after 7 months, I came back to Atlanta, and I had lined up a gig scouting with an agency, the Neustadt Group, who represent a lot of guys in Europe and some players in the NBA as well, Boris Diaw, Shelvin Mack, Jonas Jerebko at the time. they have Dragan Bender now, and really, really good people. I liked it, you know, as far as agents go. It was what I deemed to be in that world, which can get a little slimy. Some pretty good, trustworthy dudes, straight shooting dudes. So I started scouting for them and trying to help them find guys that could potentially be successful in Europe. And then sort of took a stab in the dark when I was moving back to Atlanta, and I got Danny Ferry's email address, and I sent him a couple of emails, and after about, I don't know, maybe 4 weeks or a month or so, he hit me back saying, hey, I'm out of town, but when I get back in August, whenever it was, let's meet up. Let's go get lunch. And I was like, cool. Because, you know, as you know, Dave, like, I've never been, even though I was born in the U.S., born in Atlanta, grew up being a Hawks fan, it was never like NBA or bust for me. Sam and I didn't really go to Europe hoping to reflect that back into some sort of NBA job. We just were sort of following the flow and really fetishized European basketball a little bit. So in no way were we trying to like go NBA or bust. But I went in for that meeting and had about an hour long talk with Danny recently after he had taken the helm and was really liking some of the moves he was making and was really liking the emphasis he had on international guys and the appreciation he had for the international game. He had just drafted Dennis Schroeder and Lucas Nogueira, and that was the year they brought in Pero Antic, and which is, I was as surprised as anybody. And we had like an hour long talk and it went really well. And then he brought me up to talk to Wes Wilcox, and we talked for like, I don't know, an hour and a half or 2 hours. And from there, they sort of gave me a 3 month or 2 month tryout where, you know, I'd wake up on Monday and have an email or a text from one of them saying, all right, Dario Saric, Bojan Bogdanovic, give me scouting reports, go. All right, boom, 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 send it back. Then next, you know, a couple days would pass. Then, all right, Nick, I want to know the 50 players that we need to know about and be aware of in Europe. Go. Put together the list, blah, blah, blah. So it was kind of – I didn't really know exactly what I was trying out for or what was going on. All I knew is that I had people asking my opinion, and I was going to do my damnedest to put something down that was worth a damn just in case something were to come of it. And then I got a call opening night of the 2014 season, I guess that would be.
13-14, right?
13-14. Yeah. Thank you. I'm so bad with years, man. 13-14. And saying that they wanted to offer me a job as a international scout and working in their basketball operations department. And so it wasn't full time. I was working from home mainly. I got a Synergy password and just sat at home most days, just watching a ton of basketball, ton of international basketball, talking to connections, guys that you and I both know and that we've met overseas, and trying to figure out not just who the best talents are, but what their work habits are like, talk to national team coaches and find out about the players, what makes them tick. Do they like to work? Do they like to practice? What, you know, do they go out? And if so, what do they do? Like, you know, just things to try to help you handicap how these players are going to progress. And so it was a great learning experience for me. I did a lot of listening in that first year. I would go in on game days, and that was the year they put sport view cameras in all of the arenas. So every game I would operate those sport view cameras, and it was cool to kind of be on the ground floor there seeing how that all worked. I didn't know it was actually Israeli missile defense software that they were using to track the players. So it was some real high-tech shit. But it was great for me to be in there and be in that environment every time we had a meeting, whether it was trade deadline or every month we would go over our college prospect rankings, international prospect rankings. I'd be in those meetings listening, contributing occasionally, mainly listening, trying to learn, taking notes. I'd say my chief role was a name pronouncer. One of my favorites is, and I can tell this, whatever. Kristaps Porzingis gave some people some problems, so a couple of guys in the office started calling him Crispy Porn. So he was just Crispy Porn. I would help people figure out if it was Bojan Bogdanovic or Bogdan Bogdanovic. So we ended up calling Bogdan Bogdanovic Bodraft, and I called Bojan Bogdanovic Bojangles just to try to keep everyone clear. So, you know, just really, really super important stuff, Dave. Then my second year, they brought me on full time. So I pretty much was living at Phillips Arena 80-100 hours a week. Definitely slept there several nights, more than several nights, just doing a little bit of everything. So international was still my main focus. You know, they had sent me to Konya the year that summer before, where I'd seen you, got to spend some time there, getting our eyes on Sabonis and the Benders of the world. And that was a good time. And going to, you know, Hoop Summit and just some events domestically here and some international, but then also just kind of managing our scouts. So managing our scouting database, keeping our master prospect rankings together, a ton of spreadsheets, got really damn good at Excel. and then just kind of whatever else needed to be done, man. I mean, honestly, I was working out on the floor with guys, rebounding pregame, and I was getting bagels and coffee for meetings. So, I mean, it kind of ran the gamut, and which I was grateful for. Got a chance to learn and be around a lot of very smart people. And from a personal level, it was really cool for me because, like I said, I'm from Atlanta, grew up there, avid Hawks fan throughout the doldrums. You know, I remember 9 straight years not making the playoffs until my freshman year of college. And so to be a part of that season where we won 60 games and ended up being first in the East and had 4 All-Stars and undefeated in the month of January, you know, that was all me, Dave.
of course.
No, but it was cool to be a part of that, even if I was like the smallest imaginable part of it. So it was a blast. I had a really good time with the Hawks. I mean, it was difficult. I'm not gonna act like it was just a picnic. It was difficult work and challenging, sometimes frustrating work. But I think it was just a different speed. You know, I mean, you come from living in Spain and then living in Buenos Aires to 100-hour weeks in the basement of Phillips Arena. So it was definitely a change in pace for me. But I think it was good. It kind of kicked my ass a little bit, and I needed that. And then after 2 years there, you know, there was plenty of upheaval in that franchise at the time, which I don't need to go into. You guys can all – you have Google. But – basically, my contract was up at the end of that second year, and they let a lot of folks' contracts sort of expire and brought in some new folks with new leadership, which is just how things go in the NBA. I had a lot of OGs kind of tell me to expect that, one of whom, which I will mention, is Rick Sund, who was the general manager before Danny. And this is like how great a guy Rick is. He was the GM before Danny, and yet Danny kept him on as a senior advisor after that. I mean, this is Rick Sund is a guy who's been a GM of 3 separate organizations, never burnt a bridge in his life in 45 years. And it was so great to have a guy like that just talking me through some of those tougher times, and just let me know what to expect. And sometimes just sitting down and telling me Larry Bird stories for 2 hours, or saying, "Hey Nick, let's come in on Saturday afternoon, and I want let's watch 4 games of Kristaps Porzingis, or you know, I want to really nail down this Saric guy. Let's come in and tell me everything you know about this guy." And so it was great to have him in an organization that was very much go go go, work, to have a guy, an OG, who just kind of wanted to kick it sometimes and talk hoops. So shouts to Rick Sun. He's the man. He's the greatest. I forgot how I got on Rick Sun, but oh yeah. So then after those 2 years, I've stressed that out long enough, but after that, I think part of what Sam and I always kind of wanted to do when we got into EuroLeague Adventures is we were writing about it and podcasting about it and always trying to have a good time with it, but we both really loved the game and wanted to be close to the game. And so, you know, you see Sam now doing just kicking ass with scouting and all over the world, just, you know, making connections and relationships and recommending players to colleges from Europe and to Europe from colleges and D-League. I mean, he's really put that whole puzzle. And something I wanted to do was, you know, neither of us played basketball professionally or even at the college level. And while I don't think that was, I don't want to say held against us, I think it maybe was partially stigmatized. So I always knew that since I kind of got in through that, into that NBA through that side door, I wanted to keep adding to, you know, I didn't think that I got it just because I had gotten that gig. I knew I needed to make my resume a little more robust. And when I was with the Hawks, I really enjoyed working with the players and being on the court. I developed a relationship with this company, The Skill Factory, run by Jeremiah Boswell and Josh Burr in Atlanta. And Boswell is one of the best trainers I've ever been around, and worked with guys like Paul Millsap, Dennis Schroeder, worked with John Wall and James Harden in the past, and a ton of other guys. And I really just liked their organization and vibed with what they were doing. So right when, towards the end of my Hawks gig, I started getting involved with them and going to their gym every day, working out with players that were getting ready for the NBA draft, guys that were back from overseas, like, you know, guys, James Florence, who just took home the FIBA Europe Cup, and, you know, just really had a broad group of guys that were trying to get better. And it was cool to go from like the super corporate NBA world to the more personal one-on-one training world, where we threw music on and things were more lighthearted. And NBA people can tend to take themselves a little bit too seriously, and so I think it was cool to step back from that and get on the court. And so I've spent these last 2 years training players, learning from Jeremiah, coaching youth teams as well with TSF. Got certified to do weight training, so I work with guys when they come in the gym. I just kind of got, you know, neither Sam nor I really enjoy being super niched out, super specialty, because that tends to get a slight bit boring for me. So I just was kind of trying to add to that repertoire. And then last year we had the chance to, you know, it's funny, I've done a lot in Europe and South America, but China was always kind of this like unlockable beast, which you don't really knock on China's door, you know, they invite you in. So when I was with TSF, they said, hey, we might have this CBA team coming in this summer. And I was like, let's go. So we got the Shenzhen Leopards to come in last year for 2 months. And I sort of put together that schedule and, you know, figured out how they were going to train, what they were going to eat, logistics of it all, and figuring out this was a team that had just missed the playoffs and has a very aggressive owner that wanted to get his team back where he thought they needed to be. So he spent pretty aggressively and sent his team over to the United States. And we spent they spent 2 months in Atlanta, and after that they brought me back to China with them for 2 months to continue working with them in the off season, and that was a great experience. And then I came back to Atlanta after those 2 months, worked with TSF this year, and then a team from the second division, the Hebei Dragons, came and trained with us the following spring. So they came for 2 months. I was, you know, probably even more involved with them than I was with Shenzhen, and had a great relationship with the players there. Not only one of them spoke pretty much English, so, you know, a lot of it is pointing and just the vibes you get from people, and it's not as much, you know, deep level of conversations. We weren't talking politics or anything, but it's cool to just be on the court with those guys and watch them get better. And so when they left, I expressed an interest to continue working with them, and I didn't hear from them for a month or so, and then found out maybe a couple months after they left that they wanted to bring me on and hire me as an assistant coach. So I took me about a minute and a half to respond. I had to ask my fiance if she was cool with that, because I got back from China last year and proposed, and then got back on a plane essentially again to go back to China. So wanted to make sure she was cool with the vision there, and she's great and she's super supportive. So came on over, and I've been over here for a month now. We had our first game last night, and I'm loving it, man. So that's probably longer than I wanted on the resume, but I ramble. So
we've never heard you ramble before, so
I, 240 podcasts ago, so I got all this. I kind of went dark, so I have all this pent-up conversation in me.
Yeah. Well, I assume you probably have some conversation in you just because you don't have a lot of English there, right? In China.
Yeah, you're exactly right, man.
How hard is that? You have two Americans, probably, right?
Two Americans, Shannon Shorter and Brandon Costner, and they're great. Get along with them really well. I'm trying to work on my Chinese. I got
Mandarin.
Mandarin. I have hello, thank you, basketball, defense, dumpling. So like most of the essentials. But I just got Rosetta Stone this week. So, got a 3-game road trip coming up, so I'm going to try to dive in there because, basketball, defense, dumpling doesn't accomplish everything you want to accomplish here in China.
Probably a lot of things, but not everything, right?
Most things, but not everything.
What does it mean to you? You look back and you had this amazing experience, with an NBA team and which is sort of the pinnacle of basketball. You were at the, let's say at the lower end of that, but you go through everything that you've been through and, put yourself at look at where you're at right now, saying you're assistant coach with a Chinese basketball team, a second division Chinese basketball team. If we had said that, when you were finishing up in Syracuse, what would you say?
Good. That's a good question, man. And I've tried to, I've had a ton of time to think about that kind of stuff here in China. But I think I would I think if you told me that right when I finished Syracuse, I would say I'm totally down with that. I'd say, let's go. Because I remember I applied a Fulbright scholarship to go to Slovenia the year after college. And I found out couple weeks before graduation that I was a finalist, but then I got the letter that I did not get it. So I was going to go live in Ljubljana for a year. I was pumped about that. And I remember when I got that letter, Sam and I, it was raining in Syracuse. I know you guys are all shocked and think that it wasn't tropically sunny, but we cracked a couple beers on the porch and we were like, man, fuck it. Let's go to Spain. Sam was like, let's go. So I think at that time we kind of had a spirit of let's just see where this takes us. And so if I knew it was going to be assistant coach in China, I think I would have been kind of wondering what happened in between. But I would have said, yeah, I'm okay with that. I'm cool with that. That's something totally different out there. And I think that's kind of what I was looking for at the time and still am looking for, just kind of rolling along and seeing what opportunities come up. I definitely follow people more than the position, I never made it a goal of mine to do the NBA thing, but when I was there, I was I had some moments where I was like, whoa, this is kind of cool. I'm a blah, blah, blah for the Atlanta Hawks. But you can love your title or whatever, what it says on your business card or your LinkedIn or whatever, but if you're not with people that you enjoy being with and people that are going to help you grow, and then it's really tough to extract any genuine joy out of anything, I think. So I'm just kind of rolling with the people now more so than chasing a position.
I imagine that you've probably spent, I don't even know how many thousands of hours, but Eurobasket.com that you've spent on that website.
Probably. Yeah, I'm on it right now.
Yeah.
If the left side of the screen, Skype is the right.
What would it mean to you if you were to get a page on that as a coach?
Oh, man.
You're not there yet, man. You're not there yet.
Am I not there yet? I haven't even
checked. I looked on the second division NBL, and there's only two guys. I don't even, those are the current two guys.
Wait, yeah. Here's the test. I'm going to bet that at least one of those people I've never seen in my life before.
Check it. That's
right. I'm right here. All right, just clicked on our team.
Is the picture of the four guys on the home right?
All right, it's loading. You got to remember this is speed loading, so that blue thing is spinning around. While it's spinning around and loading, I will say, I think I'd be nervous if I were on the page, because I mean, coaches change here like with the wind. I think by the time my picture got up, it would probably be time to take it down. Is what I'm afraid of. And it's still not loading.
Okay. There's a Young, Zhang, Burns, and Costner. Well, Costner, you said, is there, right?
Yeah, Costner's there. Costner. Oh, yeah. I mean, this guy.
I guess, right? The Americans are right. You said Shannon Shorter and Brandon Costner.
Yes, sir. Those are correct.
Those are the Americans. That's all the players that they have listed on the roster. So.
Yeah, I mean, that's symbolic kind of how some Chinese teams are built, honestly. And it's something that China is working on, I think, is making sure that even though the two Americans are the most important guys on the team, they are not the whole team. And we definitely try to emphasize that to our Chinese guys here. And we've got some guys that really compete their asses off and believe that they can make an impact, and they all work so hard. I mean, I'm really grateful to have this group of people, both the two Americans and the Chinese players, because it's one thing for the Chinese to believe in themselves, but it makes it so much easier when you have two Americans that are supportive and you know, put the domestic players here in a position to make plays and to make significant contributions to win. So we lost our first game last night. That was at Shanxi, and they're the perennial top three finisher. We're going on a 3-game road trip now, so we're going to learn a lot about ourselves, but I'm feeling pretty good. I mean, despite the loss, I think we have a really solid group, and two Americans that are going to lead, not dropping 40, but with sharing the ball. You know, I'm a big believer the ball has energy, and you gotta share it. Guys have to touch the ball if you expect them to defend, and if guys have to touch the ball if you expect them to run the floor. And so you gotta share that thing. You gotta move that thing. Even if it comes from the American, you gotta whip it around and make Americans defend. That's another part. You don't really guard imports here. So if you wanna wear down Von Wafer, it can't be Shannon Shorter with the ball all the time. Sometimes you got to give it to Yao Guangguo and let him go at Von Wafer. Otherwise, he gets to chill off ball and not have to defend. So, I mean, there's some unique challenges about coaching in China, and that's what's been pretty cool. And after that long soliloquy, still has not loaded the page. So. If you're wondering,
you haven't been there long, and you had a taste of the first division, the CBA, more last year than, you know, this year right now, the NBL. Do you have a feel for Chinese basketball yet? I mean, and maybe sort of how it compares, and I mean, kind of hard to say how it's developing because you really haven't been, let's say, involved with it, but maybe through a conversation or two where you think it's going. Is there anything you can kind of say to that?
Yeah, I mean, so to start, the difference between NBL and CBA, I think is, oh, here we go. We have action. And yeah, there's a guy named Burns on this, and he's not a part of the team at all. Some white guy named Burns. Are you seeing those four people?
Yeah, Young, Zhang, and Burns and Costner.
Yeah, one for four.
Well, it's the NBL. It's the second division, right?
Yeah, Costner's here. Burns is, I don't know who Burns is. I don't know who Zhang is. He might have been the coach last year. And Young was not the import this year, nor was he the import last year. Because last year it was Shannon Shorter, and before him, Tiny Gallen and Tony Mitchell. The coaches now are Wong Dao, Zhao Dao, and me, Ni Dao, who they call Ni Dao. Dao means coach. So, one for four. So to answer the question, if I got a coach page here on Eurobasket, I would be concerned because that probably mean I wasn't there anymore. Oh, man. But okay, so yeah, Chinese basketball. I think I'm sorry, this Burns guy is killing me. I think so something that was pretty cool last year is the assistant coach for that team, the strength coach for that team were Australian. One of them was Serbian-Australian, Nikola Popovic. You might have guessed that's not purely Australian. And Craig Simpson. And Popovic, the strength coach, and was the assistant coach. So I learned a lot from those two guys, and my role with this team now is kind of a merger between their two roles because I'm assistant coach, I'm doing the game plan and everything, but I'm also leading all the lifts, leading all of the speed and agility sessions and skill sessions, etc. So I kind of learned not just how they do things in terms of, okay, this is a drill I like, or this is an exercise I like, but I learned about how you can affect change in a place that has been doing things their way for a very long time. And you can't be the presumptuous American or foreigner to come in here beating your chest saying, oh, well, this is how we do things where I come from, and I'm going to show you guys how it works, because that doesn't work here. And that doesn't work most places, arrogance and being cocky, and that doesn't work very well, and which is good, because that's not really, I hope it's not really my style. And I'm more of someone I like to come in and listen and learn, and you travel enough and you learn how to be diplomatic, and you learn how to be deferential to who you are, and understanding that you're not going to come in and just sweep everything they've ever done for a culture that's 2,000 years old. You're not just going to sweep that away because you worked for an NBA team for a couple of years or something, so I think the people that last here are the people that understand that, and the people that are shown the door quickly and without reconsideration are the people that get defensive and get forceful with trying to implement their style or their system. So being with Craig and Pop last year was really valuable because, they do things differently. And you might think that some player should be sitting out or rehabbing a particular way or playing a different position or coming off the bench versus starting or what have you, but they don't agree. And so instead of coming in and trying to say, well, I think this, 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 and this, I kind of have to stack up my priorities in my mind about what I think is important and what I think will help us win the most. And then once I figure out what those rankings are, figure out the best way to go about that and who I need to talk to. Sometimes it's not always, let me go to the general manager and speak my mind, or let me go to the head coach and speak my mind. We got a translator, and that translator is also a player. And so I can go to him and ask about how things work, or, hey, last year when this player was here and this happened, how was that dealt with? How did they bring that up when they wanted to make that change? How did coaches respond to that? So you got to learn how to navigate that. Now, for the CBA team last year, what I thought was really cool is I helped them when they were in Atlanta. I helped them select their imports. And so that was like a four-month process, running some names up the flagpole. Then you'd get from the owner, you'd get some backlash or some questions or some, well, what about this? What about this player? What about this player? Or I don't think this player shoots well enough. Or I don't think he's athletic enough, et cetera, et cetera. And figuring out not just how to write my scouting report and how to recommend players, but how to frame players sometimes, it can be important. And the player they ended up with was Maciej Lampe, and that was a bit of a struggle at first, getting a, because they're used to bring over Americans, and I was like, well, what if we bring over a European guy? Like, is that possible? You know, Miroslav Radulica had done it before, and when he had been pretty successful. And with this team, they were trying to do things differently. They said they had had Bobby Brown the year before, who's, you know, a great scorer, but took a lot out of the shots and dominated the ball. And when you do that, it can limit the opportunity for other players to make contributions. I mean, you see it in the NBA too. I mean, look at the Thunder. I mean, like, Russell Westbrook's an incendiary talent, but when he's off the floor, everyone else is like, wait, what? Now what the fuck am I supposed to do? I only know how to exist with Russell here. That's probably the best NBA example I could give for what happens in China. You get a lot of guys kind of watching the ball sometimes. And Shenzhen wanted to build a team that had primary contributors that were Chinese and not simply let's lean on two Americans and go from there. So I thought, well, who better to play that sort of way than somebody who's played in Europe, grown up and been, you know, learned to play European style of basketball where, you know, you might be paid $1 million like Maciej Lampe, but you're averaging, you know, 11-5. And I'd also spoken to Lampe before when I was with the Hawks, talking to him about some of the Barcelona prospects, Hazonia and Abrines and Eriksson, et cetera. And he had expressed to me before that China was something that interested him. So that's another key component. You have to have guys that want to be here. If you bring someone in here who just wants to come and put his headphones in, never eat with the team and never interact with the players and, you know, never go out with them at all or develop any sort of brotherhood with them, then it's hard to win. It's hard to win a team sport if you're not a real team. The combination of knowing that Lampe was A, willing to go to Europe, B, I think, you know, he'd come from Barcelona where winning is great, but that wasn't the best situation for him. And it was a noted sort of rocky relationship with Pascual at times. So I think he was also kind of ready, just had a kid, got married, like, all right, I want to go get some buckets, make some money. And I've done the play, be a role player on a successful European team thing. Now let's go maximize my output. So, things kind of lined up and, after some back and forth, they ended up bringing on Lampe and he had a fantastic year for them. They had, I think it was five Chinese players, average double figures. They led the league in assists, all things that the coaching staff really wanted to do. Craig Simpson and Wang Dao and Zhang Dao, their two Chinese coaches as well, emphasized. And so it was cool to kind of see that take shape last summer, that it wasn't just, all right, we're going to bring in these guys, you're going to give them the ball, and then box out and get a rebound and if you get an outlet pass, kick it back out to those guys, and they're going to shoot again. So you got a guy like Lampe who was playing dribble handoff, pick and roll, pick and pop, shot around 40% from three. Jeremy Pargo, Not the best shooter in the world, but good enough in China to where you couldn't leave him open, and a great attacking guard who could penetrate and kick to Meng Duo and some really good shooters that they had on their team. So the Shenzhen team ended up going from ninth place to, I think they finished, what was it, fifth? And they made the semifinals. They lost to Guangdong, but they made the semifinals, considered a successful season, and really did that by including these players. And now on the Chinese national team, they split them up, but this year there were four players from Shenzhen that were included in the Chinese national team, whereas last year it was only one. So through team success, they got some individual success as well. And I think everyone on that team, I kept in touch with them all year, met players and coaches. They were really playing the game and playing together. And so I took that experience and try to think about that all the time with my guys here, because they have a chance to do something similar. And we've got the imports that are magnanimous enough to let that happen. And we've got Chinese talent to really bust some guys' asses this year. I mean, we got a shooter, Fong, who's, I compared him to Joe Ingles on Instagram. Not the fastest feet in the world, but you give him an inch of daylight and that thing is gone. That shot is up, and he's again in a game, our last exhibition game against Guangxi, had four threes in the first minute and a half of the game. He was just pop, 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 pop. And so we got a guy, Yao Guangguo, who's this little, if he were in the U.S., he'd probably be playing tailback or cornerback, because he's just like a little spark plug, energy, speed. Last night he was guarding Von Wafer, and Von just hated it. He was barking at the refs, and he would get this guy off of me. He just, everywhere he went, he was shadowing the guy. So you got to play those mental games too. You got to frustrate these guys. You're not going to hold the import 25 points. You're not. But if they get 25 or 30, it's going to be off of four dribbles, dribble step back, long twos, just tough, difficult shots. You got to make them work. And we have players that can fill those roles. And we've got a guy, Yu Hung. We call him Yacha, which means toothpick in Chinese. He's long, skinny, 6'10", moves his feet well, works his ass off, great rebounder, can switch on a pick and roll and recover. I mean, we've got the tools. We've got the guys, and we've got the work ethic. So I'm looking forward to these next 25 games here.
Other than having an up-to-date Eurobasket coaching page, what kind of goals do you have for yourself right now, let's say over the next 2, 3, 4 years?
I'm gonna get
Is it really just let it go how it goes?
Yeah, I mean, I'll get like real Chinese Zen on you here, but I'm reading the book right now, Mindset, by Carol Dweck, and it's all about growth versus fixed mindset, and it's a concept I was familiar with, but I'm really reading the whole book now, and a lot of that is just about not focusing on what I want to do or what the end result to be, but just trying to grow every day. And like I said, there's been times where I've been a little bit wrapped up in the position, but now I'm just following the people, following the vibe, seeing what happens. I never had a goal to be a coach, but I'm really enjoying it. So I might continue to do this. I really like working with players on an individual level. This gives me a chance to do that. I really love scouting. Scouting is probably the thing that I enjoy the most. But this job also gives me an opportunity to do that and have some input on players that we add and the substitution pattern I have and what sort of teams and combinations will work on the floor. I would love to get back to Europe and do something like this as well. But when I get back from this season, I'm getting married in Atlanta, and like I said, I got a very patient, very supportive wife to be that hasn't tried to dictate anything yet, but I'm also going to be sensitive to that fact that she's been so patient. So I'm going to, you know, run whatever the next move is by her. Whatever it is, I just want to be close to game. I want to be involved in, I always want to coach some level, even if it's just something on the side or being involved with youth or getting involved with basketball boarders or whatever it is. But yeah, I don't know. I don't have like a real goal per se anymore, as much as it is just keep on growing, keep on meeting cool people and having interesting conversations and seeing where those conversations lead.
For those who have read the book Brave Dragons, you know, there's this amazing character, Boss Wong, in there. We've had people on the podcast from China in the past, players, and we've had our connections go dead numerous times. I think one of the shows we did, one of the Chinese guys, I think it was seven different actual calls to the player on Skype. It just kept getting cut off. Have you had an experience yet with the boss, Boss Wong? Or if not, are you looking forward to it? Can you tell us about Boss Wong?
So, I mean, I probably should have read Brave Dragons before I came here. But I didn't. And so I'm sort of, as I told you the other day, I guess I'm just kind of unknowingly living the sequel. I did, he's not been here since I've been here. But he's traveling right now, but he was in Atlanta. He came to Atlanta when we were in Atlanta, and he came and visited and watched training, and honestly, he was great. I loved him. He was fantastic. We went out, had a nice Chinese dinner, had some hot pot at up on Beaufort Highway. For any of those of you who know Atlanta, you know that's where all the real food is from around the world, not the ritzy stuff, but the real nitty-gritty authentic. We went and had a delicious Chinese meal. He was super, super great. Was really complimentary of everything at the Skill Factory. We were grateful that he brought his team here. I haven't experienced any of the ant per se, but I will say he is incredibly passionate about his team and about basketball, and he loves the game, knows the game, and he's definitely not afraid to let his opinion be known. But I'm looking forward to his return. Looking forward to it 100%.
For those who haven't read the book and don't remember our talks about him in the past on the podcast, could you compare him to anybody? I mean, you know about passion and being outspoken, you know, an owner, you know, maybe think Cuban, but he's, you know, much more flamboyant and everything else. A mix between somebody and somebody. Is there
Cuban? I mean, Cuban is the comp that everyone has. Everyone told me in China, and it seems accurate. Yeah. Yeah, I think Cuban, honestly. We can have more owners like that in the future in the NBA. I wish I could think of more, you know. I mean, I guess you got Ballmer now. I don't know why you want to buy a team and go sit in your ivory tower. Like, you bought the team, go enjoy yourself, you know. So I have absolutely no problem with that. And at the end of the day, people get up in arms about that. What is the basketball, especially the NBA, if not an entertainment league? You know, I mean, it's people get so righteous about sports sometimes, and it's like, give me a break, man. It's sports. It's entertainment. These guys are getting paid to entertain. If no one came to the games, there wouldn't be a league. There wouldn't be an NBA. So, I mean, I love it when you have an added element of showmanship, no matter where it's coming from. I think it's fun. So, I mean, that's why I enjoy China. I mean, even the refs are like, have their theatrics and a real all. So we had a dude like ran like 70 feet over to make like a dramatic charge call. And it was like, really, bro? But, you know, here I am talking about it. And I'm like, eh, I'm glad he did it. It gave me something to think about and gave me a fun story one day, or fun story to tell on the Hind podcast. So I think it's fun. I mean, I definitely get rowdy during the games. I have my first warning in my first professional coaching game last night. I had a ref warning last night to sit down and shut up. So,
well, there you go, man.
I'll probably have to take heed, especially on the road. I might have gotten a little because I was at home, but you know, I'm here to get rowdy. Here to emote. I'm not just gonna sit on the bench and like look serious and write some stuff down and count fouls on my notepad. Like, I'm getting into it.
I couldn't really see you doing that anyhow, though. Only that. No.
Of course.
EuroLeague Adventures. If you want to check out some absolutely amazing Asian food pictures, go to FreakNickATL on Instagram and check out all of Nick's. Makes you hungry just looking at the pictures of all this amazing food. I bet you're loving that.
Dave, I lost you for a second there. You were talking about food, so I bet you had my ear.
I bet you're loving that, the food in Asia, in China. The pictures are amazing.
Yeah. Loving it. I mean, I can't believe we've actually spoken this long and not talked about the food. But I mean, if that's like a prerequisite for anywhere that I'll ever go for basketball. Like, my first consideration is like the basketball environment, perhaps. But 1A is, what am I going to be eating when I'm there? Because that's what it's all about for me. So they're breaking me off with a nice little per diem over here, taking care of me. And I love to cook. So this is the longest I've ever gone without cooking in my life, this whole month. I was a little bit anxious about that, but they're giving me a nice little per diem, and I'm going off and exploring and finding some great, great food spots. Had some Sichuan blood sauce the other night, which was just amazing. One of my favorite things I've eaten here. There's a great noodle spot where I get, like, they hand-stretch the noodles. I think I put a video of it on Instagram. They hand-stretch the noodles and then bring you out these lamb cures. And the noodles, put a little bit of beef, couple scoops of broth, throw in scallion and a little bit of chili. And it's just so simple and amazing. And then you get a couple plates of veggies along with the lamb skewers. And I can get all that for like $7, you know. So I'm in heaven, food heaven.
God, that egg yolk pancake looked amazing.
Oh man, that was that, the John Bing. Oh boy, that was, I could only put classical music to that because it was so fucking beautiful.
You have, if you're not on Instagram, and I'm barely on Instagram, go to it, FreakNickATL. Can you see your pictures? Can anybody see your pictures if they're not on Instagram? I don't know what kind of settings. I'm very bad at that.
Well, I mean, you should know that I'm like very bad. I just got an Instagram like the day I came here, actually, because I had my family and my fiance were like, look, I get it that you're not big on the social media and whatever, but like, come on, you're about to go to China for 3 months, like, get with the program. And I was like, you're right. I've been living in the dark ages, and I honestly missed it. I used to love Twitter and back in the Euro Adventure days, but when I got up in the Hawks, they kind of put the gag order on me.
Yeah, sure.
So as much as I wanted to tweet about Dragan Bender or, you know, Doc Bertans, I had to write my thoughts, lock them up in a little box and put it in the Hawks dungeon. So I'm happy to be back out there. And I am going to start I'm gonna start tweeting from Euro Adventures again too. So I'm gonna try to come out of my cave and come into the modern era.
All right. I know you have to sort of eventually get to bed, head to bed, you know, everything else. Thank you for coming back on. I don't know what took you so long, 240 episodes, but thank you for, I think that, having you on for 250 is also interesting because, you know, you're kind of a blast from the past. You know, your early adventures has meant a lot to my podcast as well. Just because everybody knows there's not many podcasts out here in Europe and to have, you know, like you said, we've seen each other a couple times and it's always great to chat and it was nice to have you back on. Wish you the best of luck. It was fantastic. I think it was actually Instagram from Sam saying that you were in China and I, you know, had to reach out and check out, see how you're doing. So it sounds like you're loving life, which I never doubted in a second that it would continue like that. And you're having,
well, thanks, man. I appreciate it.
You're having a great adventure there.
Thanks, man. Yeah. It's an honor to be back on. I enjoyed it. It's funny you mentioned the Sam post is he was like every time I talk to him, which, you know, I still talk to him all the time. I mean, he's going to be a groomsman at my wedding. I mean, he's, you know, but he's like, dude, you have to like reach out to some people or you have to like throw a tweet out there. He was like, I'm tired of having to tell people what you're doing. I'm tired of like being your damn agent and like PR team. So he was, when I put that picture out there, he was like, yo, I'm screenshotting this and tweeting it out once so no one has to ask any more questions. I was like, go right ahead. So I'm sure he's happy that people won't be asking him about me anymore.
Well, you guys were so connected too, you know, so it's, you know, everybody, that, you know, the one associated the other with the other, you know?
Yeah, oh, for sure. And I was kind of like cracked up when Sam mentioned it. But yeah, Sam's the homie forever. Sam's the best. So maybe we can come on one of these together sometimes. Or I'm probably gonna hop on a EuroLeague Adventures podcast here in a minute too. So we can just get it back up. I remember when your podcast was first getting started, and we had like Sam and I tried to stoke like the fire, like the fake. The fake Twitty between Euro Adventures and taking the charge, and that was always fun, just trying to like make the little fake beef between like the only two international podcasts out there. So,
and they're still going, man.
You're still doing your thing, man. It's Rob Scott's absolutely killing it. I mean, I'm just, the fact that nobody has like hired him full time to write about European international basketball is just crazy. I mean, he's unreal. So even though I'm not on the podcast, I mean, I'm still listening to everyone and reading what goes up on EuroLeague Adventures, and Austin Green's been doing a great job. George Rowland's been doing a great job. I mean, just those guys are absolutely killing it. So I miss EuroLeague Adventures podcast, but I don't lose any sleep knowing it's in terrific, terrific hands.
All right, Nick. Hey, man. Appreciate it. Good luck. Have fun, and I know you will. And again, well, not again, but also congratulations on the engagement. And you definitely have something great looking forward to when you get done in China. Look forward to seeing some more great posts of food and everything else. And if you happen to get a picture on Eurobasket.com, make sure you let me know in case I don't find out ahead of time.
I have, man. Thank you very much, and have fun and eat.
Thank you. I will. Thanks, man. All right. Just thinking about those food pictures makes me real hungry right now. Really, really hungry. And makes me really totally want to go get some Asian Chinese food. But that ain't gonna happen just because so much to do. Anyhow, it was great. Great to hear from Nick. And, you know, I've been following him, you know, not on the show, obviously, but following his adventures and what he's been doing And it's great to hear that he is planted soundly on his two feet and having a great time in China. Again, like I said, there's no surprise at all that anything other than that would have been actually a surprise. So there's an update on Nick. You know, you want to go listen to the last show that we had with him way back in November 2012, episode 10. Go check it out. All right. With that, again, you know, episode 250, I really kind of wanted to do a lot more, but I'm going to have to leave it at that. Totally appreciate everybody who has supported the show in the past. It's been a unbelievable experience over the 250. You know, we're you know, closing in on, what's that, 5 years? You know, it's just amazing to think that the show is still going and that people are still listening. And new people have come in, and you know, some of the older people, you know, like, go back and put in, you know, China in the search bar. I can't remember, Garrett something maybe. I can't remember what the guy's name was who was on the China, played for China, for a Chinese club, and we had an interview, and you know, that the interview that we did with him broke down, I think, 7 times. On our Skype call, that was when Oz was still with it, and you know, definitely Boss Wong references all over the place. All right, so again, thank you very much, appreciate it. 250, it's an amazing number, and you know, just keep on chugging along. Last thing to let you know is the song you're going to be listening to. The song is called "Aren't You Worried." It's by the Spin Wires. It's available on freemusicarchive.org. Didn't mention that actually last week, I believe. The music is available on freemusicarchive.org. Go check it out. Next week, I will be in Cairo for the FIBA Under-19 World Basketball World Cup. So enjoy the games, and we'll talk to you from Egypt.
About me, aren't you worried about something out there? what you doing to me?
Hi, this is Patrick Bauman, Secretary General of FIBA, and you're listening to Taking the Charge. Enjoy.